Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location once again where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's all about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I can't do this thing by myself, and this guy is always sharpening me when he comes in here, because he always has an answer.
And it may wish that were true.
Well, you do. Just like everybody else, we all have our answers, right?
Well, you know, it says in 1 Peter to always be ready with an answer for the hope that lies within you. And that being said, a lot of times I'll be asked a question, I don't have the answer. So I have to say, you know what? I'm going to look into this, and I'll get back to you.
Yes.
And that's okay.
Yes, that is okay. But the good thing is that that's why we need this type of fellowship in our lives as men. We have them. You guys have them. You know, guys who maybe you're a football fan, and you have guys in your life that are football fans. They love football. You maybe even do stuff on the side, the fantasy football and all that sort of thing. And you guys who are golfers, you have friends who love to golf, and you do things together, right? Well, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have to be kind of in the same realm, that we hang out with people that are doing the same thing that we're doing, that we are enjoying or we've desired to go down this path because we knew that would be a better way to live. Mm-hmm. And we found men who are like-minded in that. And so the Bible talks about how we need to continue. I think it's in Thessalonians where continue gathering together like this and not ever give up on that.
Yeah, it's in Hebrews? Chapter 10.
See what I tell you? Hebrews 10.
I believe it's Hebrews 10 to not neglect gathering together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as we see the day drawing near.
See? That's what I'm talking about. I'm glad you're here. No need for me, so I'm out of here now. It's all about... All right, hey, you guys are listening in because you read the topic on the podcast or you're listening in streaming live, and it's all about pornography and how we can best help men who feel challenged in that area. We're not saying you're addicted, just challenged, okay? You know where you're at with that sort of thing, and maybe we may not come up with anything new here, but it may be something that maybe you just need to hear today.
Yeah, and if they're a longtime listener, they've probably heard topics similar to this on the show. But you know what? It's such a prevalent thing in today's world that it just doesn't really hurt to talk about it again. You know,
yes.
Maybe there's a new listener, and this is the first time they get the opportunity to hear something about this. And so, you know, because this show's not like other shows, we're willing to go ahead and just say it like it is. So.
Yes. You won't necessarily hear all of these things discussed. Well, they won't be discussed, but preached from the pulpit the majority of the time. Not saying that they won't do it, but the likelihood is it's not. So let's... you want to do some encouragement?
Let's just do a short encouragement.
All right.
Because in this life that we live, you know, we live in this world, and we're often tempted to... especially in our workplace or in our relationships, we can do things to kind of say fudge the numbers, right? Mm. We can try to make ourselves look better on paper than we are in actuality. I can try and I say something to somebody that's not entirely true in order for them, you know, to accept me. Or, you know, I might just fudge the numbers just a little bit on the taxes, you know, so that, you know, Uncle Sam will never miss it. you know, these are
ways of justifying everything.
Yeah, these are a lot of the temptations that come up against us. And what I want to say about that is, you know what, when we know in our heart that these things are not right. And a lot of times, in fact, a lot of times these things will come back and they'll catch up to us and they'll be found out, right? And so what happens in that case is that we're, you know, we come up against, you know, the punishment or persecution for doing wrong. And what benefit is it to us to be persecuted for doing wrong? You know, we're getting what we deserve, right? But if we actually, you know, have integrity in these areas and say, no, I'm not going to do this, you know, and yes, I know that my numbers aren't going to look as good. Yes, I know I'm going to have to pay more taxes, you know, but if somebody comes up against me to persecute me at this time, I know that what I've done is right. And then I'm being persecuted for being good. I'm persecuted for doing the things that Jesus wanted me to do, because this is the way that he wants me to live out this life in honesty and integrity. So ultimately, I'm being persecuted. We are being persecuted for the sake of Christ. And Jesus says we're blessed when we're persecuted for his namesake.
And to keep in mind that he was actually, they hate him first.
Absolutely.
That's why they hate us. So, I mean, truly what it comes down to. And that's just part of that discipleship road that we need to know that we're going down. You know, we've got to be willing to stand for what we believe in and what we believe that God wants us to be doing. And how do we know what that is? Well, it's that relationship with him. The more time we spend with him, we get to understand him and know him. And we actually are prompted at certain times because the Holy Spirit lives within us. You knew that.
Oh, yeah.
These guys know that. But we take it for granted. We forget about that sometimes, you know, that if we actually seek him, he'll actually give us an answer, okay? We just have to make sure that our channel is clear as we pray to him, as we listen to him. We want to make sure that there isn't anything, any sin in our life that, you know, that we have not asked for forgiveness for, a secret sin. Because our prayers might be hindered as a result of it. So, anyway.
And that kind of just rolls right into the topic of today.
Ah, yes.
Which is the issue of pornography. And, you know, I'll tell you, I know that there are a lot of men out there who are just feeling very trapped in this pornography. That it's something that they just can't get a hold of, no matter how much they try and white knuckle it, they continue to fail, you know. And the enemy has really set this up, Raul, so that he's made it really, really easy for us to go down this road, because now we have computers in our homes, and we have the internet, and we have thousands, tens, hundreds of thousands. I don't know how many people are providing websites, you know, where you know, we can download this stuff directly onto our computer. We can view it in the privacy of our homes, and then we can go and delete all the histories and everything, and cover all of our tracks. And so now here he's made it so easy for us to indulge in all of these you know, pornographic imagery and videos and such, and to keep it completely secret from everybody in our lives.
Well, obviously, mankind has taken what God has given as a gift for a man and a woman, a wife, okay, to be able to enjoy, and has manipulated it and has put it in a position where we're at today in the world with it. Not that they have been in the past, because they have. You read things in the Old Testament, you read about the same things that are taking place here, men after men. In a sense, okay, to the extremes that what we have going on today.
Yeah, and prostitution, that's all, you know, that's evident in the Bible in all sorts of places.
Absolutely. And then, you have, you know, when it comes to rape and there's children involved in here. Not just that they're the children of the parents that are challenged, children are involved in this through trafficking and sex trafficking throughout the world, okay? And it's huge to and it's I mean it just almost makes you sick. But you know what? We all, believe it or not, by you looking at something, is actually promoting that, because they're saying, hey, we're on the right track here. We're getting not only looks, but we're getting people who are actually paying to look at even more, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In 1 John, it talks about here, this is one of the things about, once again, being a follower of Jesus Christ, being a disciple of his, okay? It says that, do not love the world. My ESV says here in 1 John 2, verse 15, do not love the world or things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. So in other words, if you're going to abide in the Lord, you're going to be in safekeeping. And if you're going to abide in the world, and of these three that he's talking about here, the desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, you know. And we all fall in this. We all fall in this
at one time or another,
okay? Because there's that desire. Say, wait a minute, this is something that is good. It feels good, and it's okay. Well, that's not where it was intended, you know.
Yeah.
God did create us to be able to have children, to be able to populate the world, and he wanted us to enjoy that. He actually made it pleasurable to be with your wife, okay? Not with someone else's wife, or, you know, not behind your wife's back or anything as such. And yes, I know, you can look at saying, okay, look at all these guys at the beginning. You know, they had all these wives and concubines and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can try to justify that all you want. But the simple fact is that adultery is a sin. And we commit it not only physically, just with our eyes sometimes.
Yeah, and Jesus agrees with you. that's probably good to know, because Jesus says in, it's recorded in Matthew, he says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart.
Yeah,
you know, so that's, man, Jesus, he just looks right past the outside part, and he just looks right into our hearts and calls it like it is. And he's saying, hey, you know what? It's not just the actions.
Yes.
You know, if you look at a woman and you have lustful intent in your heart, you've already committed adultery in your heart and in your mind, and you know it.
Yep.
You know, and if we're honest with ourselves, we look at our thoughts and we can see, oh yeah, you know, I had a thought like that. We have to admit, you know, if we look at who Jesus is and we look at ourselves and then look at our thoughts, we're like, yeah, I have to admit that Jesus is right, that I am committing adultery in my heart.
Right.
You know, but I find that, you know, growing up, how many times did we hear this, that, you know, our dad would say, because I said so, you know, don't do this. Why, Dad? Because I said so.
Yeah.
You know, and we just don't really get a real answer.
In some cases, I was just going to add to this, sometimes there's no dad at home to say that to you.
That's true. So, yeah.
Anyway.
And that's a tough situation, too, because we're meant to, you know, the family is meant to be a woman, husband situation, because we both add something to it. But that's, you know, it's kind of a different road from the one I was going down. You know, because I can look at verses that say, now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry. And then goes on to say that people who do things like this won't inherit the kingdom of God. You know, and this is true, okay? You know, but honestly, sometimes I look at something like this, and it's just, I feel like it's my dad saying to me once again, because I say so.
Yes, yes.
You know, so I wanted to take just a second to go back to Genesis, because I want to show the guys how it's not just a because I say so thing. If we go back to Genesis, to the creation, and in Genesis 1:27, it says, so God created man in his own image. And then this is really important. Pay real close attention to this. In the image of God, he created him. male and female, he created them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in the image of God, they are created. Male and female, he created them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so hold that in your brain for just a second, and we're going to jump to the next chapter of Genesis where it gives us a little bit more information.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, when Adam first saw Eve, right? Remember, God put him to sleep and took his rib and created woman from the rib. And then it says, then the man said, wow, good job, God. No, no, that's not what he said. I'm not going to get struck by lightning.
That's
not
what God said, he said. So.
Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So when we put these two things together, we see that this marriage that we have, you know, in this last verse, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to look closely at the order of this, okay, that a man leaves his father and mother,
mm-hmm.
okay, then he cleaves to his wife. That means, you know, they get married,
right.
Then they become one flesh. Now, that has a lot of, you know, different meanings. Different commentators will say different things. But there's obviously the intention of saying, yeah, they're going to be sexually active, okay? Mm-hmm. They're going to have sex. Now, when we look at that, at that marriage relationship that's designed by God, we go back to this other verse in Genesis 1:27, and we see that it's the image of God,
mm-hmm.
that this is a reflection of the very nature of God, and he's established who he is. He says who he is, and that this marriage relationship, this sexual marriage relationship, is a reflection of the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
So when we step outside those bounds, and we say, I'm going to take the gift of God and use it for my own pleasure and just do with it according to what I want to do, then what we're actually doing is we're profaning who God is.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to take a moment to take us out of the because God says so thing and just to show the guys that it's not just because God says so, it's because of who God is.
Mm-hmm. So, now that, are you done making me feel guilty?
Yeah.
And everybody else who's listening?
It's not, I don't want to make the guys feel guilty. I just want to exemplify the goodness of God.
Yes, you're just making us aware of that sort of thing. And it is true. All of that is true. But all sin, okay, is objectionable to God. So everything mm-hmm. that we do is sinful. We know that it's objectionable to him. The majority of time, 99.9% of the time, we know that the sin is not pleasing to God, whatever it is. But we're talking about pornography or lust right now. And my point being is that here we are as Christian men who are seeking God. We raise our hands and praise him. We are taking care of the responsibilities that God has given us, okay? But in a second, in a splecken sometimes, on a day where I am weak for whatever reason, okay, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and then all of a sudden there's a good-looking woman, I fall into that trap,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Yeah.
And I think that's where we want to be able to let you know. We're not here to say, okay, this is what the Bible says, and so on and so forth. No, we know what the Bible says. We're just reminding you that's what you just did. But how is it that a guy is to be able to deal with this stuff? I mean, to actually sit there and go, okay, now what do I do? I mean, should I not say anything to anybody because I'm ashamed? Should I not, what should I do? Is it okay if I just, well, since I've sinned, I might as well just go ahead and do it even more and then ask for forgiveness at the very end of that. I've used that many, many times in my past.
Oh, absolutely. Okay? Yeah, me as well.
But the fact is that we all fall short of this. And that part of what we're going to do, and the reason I'm saying all this is because I don't want to lose these guys who are saying, hey, I don't need this once again. Just being told that this is a sin. Okay, we know that it's a sin. And you understand what I'm doing. I'm not just throwing this at you, okay, because this is important, okay? But the simple fact is that we sit here and throughout the millennial, okay, we all fall into this, okay? And one of the things that I forget to do is ask for forgiveness. I really do. I forget to ask for forgiveness, so I continue doing it. And guess what happens? All of a sudden, it's like you open that door is open, and all of a sudden, the atmosphere in the head and the mind is changing. Maybe there was more light in there, but all of a sudden, it just got darker, mm-hmm. right? And all of a sudden, before I know it, I'm pushing any thought of the Lord out of my head. And then before you know it, whether I'm back at work or back in my at home ready to do some other things, all of a sudden things start to change a little bit. My attitude is different. Maybe I don't look at people the same way as I did maybe a half an hour ago. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about this sort of thing so that we can actually, well, you and I are not talking from the being on top of the mountain, having, you know, been there and or that we got it all together. Because by all means, we don't.
Okay? Absolutely.
And that's what the guys need to hear is that, you know, we've both been down this path of destruction, and maybe we'll share some of that ourselves. We'll be right back. You're listening to Bannon Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
If you're a man that is struggling with alcohol, drugs, pornography, money issues, gambling, there is hope for you. On Monday nights, we have Valiant Warriors, and I invite you to come and check this out. You will come to learn very quickly that you're not alone in your challenge, that there's no judgment nor condemnation. A group of men who are willing to say, I need help. If you live in Whatcom County, come and check us out on Monday nights, every Monday night at 6 p.m. You will not regret it because there is hope and you can break free. For more information, go to BandofBrothersForChrist.org and click on Valiant Warriors.
Don't have time or energy to keep up with your yard work?
That's for sure. And that's why we choose Kane's Lawn and Garden, and we have for years. If you live in Whatcom County, Kane's Lawn and Garden can help you with the mowing, the edging, the shrub care and pruning, property weed control, general property cleanup, whatever you need. Give them a call to get a quote. 360-312-9524 or visit their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. caneslawnandgarden.com.
If you've been hearing the same old voice at the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
Welcome back to Bannon Brothers Radio, and he is a chain breaker, and he's broken our chains when it comes to...
Yeah, that's
to,
a great song to intro here because absolutely he has broken our chains. And, you know, I don't want the guys to think that we're here on these microphones on our high horses just preaching down to, you know, to the other guys who are listening. We both have experience in this issue. We've both had it, you know, destroy us, you know, and rule over us, you know, and... I'll just share a little bit of my own experience in that. And, you know, I, you know, my first experience with pornography, I was like 5 years old, you know, seeing some sort of magazine. And it just, you know, always just had a place. It was always just somewhere in my life growing up. And it became almost normal. But at the same time, you know, I knew that it wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it had a strong grip on me, you know, I wouldn't say that, you know, growing up, I was addicted to it, but it had a strong grip on me. And I thought that, you know, hey, you know what, maybe after I get married, this will be taken care of,
mm-hmm.
you know, but honestly, you know, what happened is that, because I had these established patterns, these sin patterns in my life, well, guess what? You know, getting married doesn't fix that, because the problem isn't a marriage problem. The problem is a sin problem. Uh-huh. The problem is a problem with my heart, right? Uh-huh. And so I ended up bringing that right on into my marriage. And and at one point, it just started to fester. I was able to keep it a secret from her.
Yeah. As we, most of us do. We don't talk about it. And when you're asked about it, you say, oh, that's not a problem. I mean, anyway.
Yeah. So, you know, and like any infection, it festered and it grew. And, you know, and I managed to keep it a secret from my wife for a long time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and here I am, I'm, you know, going to church because, you know, I believe in Christ, but I just, you know, I don't have that victory that I know that I should have, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like I'm blocked, mm-hmm. and I'm completely unproductive for God's kingdom. I'm sitting in the pews, and all I'm doing is I'm taking up a seat, mm-hmm. you know, honestly.
And we all warm those babies up.
Yeah. And I you know, this was really, really painful, but I praise God for it. But I got found out. Mm-hmm. You know, and my sin got found out, you know, just like I was talking about at the beginning of the show about, you know, fudging numbers and things like that. Mm-hmm. You're going to get found out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened in my own life. I got found out. And I'll tell you what, you know, I never physically committed adultery against my wife. Mm-hmm. I learned that you don't have to physically commit adultery to break your wife. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She was very broken.
Yes.
Very hurt. Yes. And it was a long time in recovery. Right. And, you know, and even every once in a while, you know, it'll still, like, you know, something will come up where it'll bring up a memory, and you can just kind of see the pain in her eyes. And,
yep.
You know, I know that, you know, that she's forgiven me, but, you know, like any wound, wounds leave scars. And those scars, you know, they don't stretch like normal skin. They don't act like normal skin. They don't go away. And while the scar is a healed wound, the scar is still a scar.
To remind you.
Yep.
Reminds me. So mine is a little different than yours. You know, I took mine into other areas of the world because I was in the military, and this lust of the flesh ended up becoming just a rampant situation. And everything that comes with that sort of thing. It's amazing what alcohol and drugs do with that type of sin on your heart. It just heightens everything, and it's party time, in a sense, okay? And I'd like to think that I was raised a certain way, and I was. I was raised in a home that was a faith-based home and might have been a little legalistic, maybe a lot legalistic in some cases. But the fact is that when I went in and became an adult, because of the challenges that took place in my life, I pushed God away, pushed my family away, and I'm going to go live life the way that I wanted to and chose to. Mm-hmm. And I was going to go with what I felt like doing, because I'd heard that, hey, if it feels good, do it. And you know what? Yeah, I like that. That's a nice statement, you know. I didn't have to have a poster on it. I had it in my head all the time. If it feels good, do it. And so that gave me a reason for doing the things that I did, or justifying, mm-hmm. I should say,
right.
what I was doing. And it led into areas of, I mean, from the very beginning, I too was young when looking at a women's Playboy, as a matter of fact. It wasn't mine. It belonged to a relative who used to say, you guys don't look at ladies like that, or, you know, or whatever, and you do this and that. And what's he got here in the bedroom? Look at this. And uh-huh. we go in there, and wow, look at this. Look mm-hmm. at that, you know. And then, of course, then it just takes it into a different thought pattern. Each one of us are different, okay, when it comes to how that thought pattern goes. Our experiences are different, but they're still the same. You're still in the midst of that sin, okay?
Right.
I didn't realize I was sinning, okay? I did know that God may not have been very happy with me, okay, because I was raised in, you know, I was an altar boy and all of this sort, and, you know, looking at the girls and some of the younger women, I should say. Does that make any sense, you know? In hindsight, that's how it comes out, right? Mm-hmm. Older, younger women, yeah. And But my point being is that it led to a path in my life where destruction was taking place through my alcoholism and my drug partying days and stuff. This led into areas where I paid for sex, and I would actually, I was engulfed in that sort of thing. And it was my escape from the world and everything else. It was my way of, this is my comfort, and I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in hindsight, looking back, I can see where all of a sudden I wanted to stop, but it just felt too good to stop. I guess maybe it's the best way for me to put it. But I wasn't seeking God either. He wasn't part of my life. And I know that I felt like I was still running from him as I was running from the devil. I was in fear of not only God, but fear of the devil too. And as a result of that, my life changed. But I became aware of certain things that needed to take place in my life. And one of them was the alcohol, which I felt was killing me. And I sought assistance with that. And as a result of that, it led me back to a place of a relationship with God, because I needed to have something that was more powerful than me to help me get through this, okay? And as a result of that, became aware of some of these things that end up coming out as a result of my hiding them. And now, because I knew about it and I let somebody else know about it, didn't necessarily mean that it went away, because I still pulled the trigger on this stuff.
Okay? Right.
And internet came around, and all of a sudden, before I know it, wow, look at all these things that are available to you. I don't even have to go buy anything. You know, I can just look at it freely, you know. And, you know, it's amazing. There was a conviction or a guilt that was on my heart and on my mind to where I realized that this needed to stop. It really needed to stop, but I couldn't stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't stop until I actually completely surrendered completely to God, okay? But it was as a result of a divorce and just an awareness that my life was not worth anything, okay? And yet I knew that God did not want me dead, in a sense.
Okay? Right.
I knew that.
Yeah.
And but as a result of that, it's a different story for a different time. I could go on and on. The fact is I needed to realize that I can't do this thing by myself. And I truly need him. And until I did that, nothing changed. It really didn't change. Oh, certain things changed. I changed relationships and jobs and everything else so it felt better, different. But the sin was still there. And it continued on until I got to that place. I realized that I had a problem. And I'm not going to necessarily admit it to anybody, but I got to that place where I had to. And I had to do something about it.
And that's not easy, admitting that you have a problem. No. You know, our world tells us that that you need to be strong and you need to just buckle down and handle this yourself and don't let anybody see you cry.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And so, you know, as we've been taught this by the world over and over and over again, you know, it's like, and now I don't, and also the shame that it brings to go and tell somebody that you don't have this under control. You know, well, I mean, now we got like this double jeopardy. I'm weak.
Yes.
And I'm shamed.
Yes.
And you know what? That's not stuff that I want to do.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a lot easier just to stay where I am.
Yeah.
You know, it hurts less.
Yes.
Right? And that's the way that we see things.
Yeah, we want our comfort. We don't want to be uncomfortable. And when you have to do something opposite of what you've been doing, because that's really what it means. You don't do a 360 come back around to it. You do a 180 mm-hmm. on this. But you allow God to intervene to create that 180. And he does. You know, he does. And let's do this. Let's take a break before we get going here. We're going to be talking about this for a week. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. And let's talk about some of these things and how we get caught up in thinking that, oh, this is not a big deal. It's not hurting anybody. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio.
You know what I love to smell? I love to smell a ham baking in the oven, or bacon sizzling in that skillet. Ooh, or maybe some German sausage roasting on the grill. You know what I don't love? I don't love to read the weird ingredients listed on the back of most of those packages of meat. Who needs that junk? That stuff is about as useful as a back pocket on your t-shirt. When it comes to your family's health, it's time for you to fish or cut bait. You need to start buying your hams, bacon, and sausage from a quality supplier like Hempler's Meats. Hempler's uses the finest of ingredients, like old-fashioned natural casings and all-natural spices. Plus, Hempler's products contain no fillers. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
All right, I just want to read something here from something that I printed out. It says, studies show that terms relating to porn are by far the most commonly searched for terms in the internet search engines. Okay. Every day, literally millions of people do searches related to the porn industry. The powerful imagery of internet pornography is highly addictive. Many men and women have been caught in the snare of internet porn and find themselves helplessly addicted to its visual stimulation. This results in uncontrollable lust, an inability to experience true sexual intimacy in marriage, and often intense feelings of guilt and despair.
Mm-hmm.
Pornography is the number one cause of masturbation, sexual assault, and sexual deviancy. Most importantly, pornography is offensive to God and is therefore a sin that must be confessed, repented of, and overcome. And that's where we get to that place of we share sometimes, we laugh about it. You know, just like you are, you work in the secular world. I today work in the ministry world, okay, so it's a little bit different, but it doesn't change what actually takes place, what you hear the majority of the time. It does for me. I hang around people who aren't trying to do that sort of thing.
Oh yeah, I hear
but
lots of stuff.
But you're hanging out with guys just like I used to when I was on a route and mm-hmm. for many, many years. You got not only the jokes, you had the stories and hey, here's where you can go and all this suggestions yeah. and stuff.
But you know, this isn't just a problem outside of the church. This is a problem right. inside of the church as well. In
Amen.
Fact, I've heard it was a long time ago, and I don't remember how accurately I'm remembering it, but something like 70% of the men, even inside of the church,
yep.
view pornography on a regular basis.
Yes.
And as many as 50% would be in the realm of addicted yes. to pornography.
Yes.
And so if you're listening to this show and you're thinking, you know, I'm alone in this, nobody else understands, that's just not the case at all.
Yes.
You're not alone.
Yes.
Both Raul and I have been there, and Lord willing, we'll have another day of victory today, you know, but
yes.
there is hope.
Yes. And that hope is that relationship with Jesus Christ once again. The promises that his in seeking him and abiding in him
mm-hmm.
will give you the opportunity to acknowledge the strength that he gives you to be able to not view. He gives you everything that you need to be able to overcome that temptation. Okay? What is it? Second Corinthians?
Oh, 2 Corinthians. Yeah, this is 10. One of my life verses. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 10:13.
Yeah.
So here it goes. See if I can do this. No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, yes. but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you can stand up under it.
Amen. Because he loves us. He loves you, brother. Yeah. He wants the very best for you. He loves you no matter what. You can't earn any more love from God than what you have right now, believe it or not. Because he loves you despite your sins, despite your not even accepting him or going toward him. He loves you completely right now. He's like the Father. He is the perfect Father who says, I'm here. Just come to me. My arms are open. I will protect you. I will give you all that you need. Let me be your refuge. Let me be your tower of strength. Let me walk alongside you. Yoke up with me because my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Okay? Yeah. So these are the things, these are the promises that are there for us. But we're not going to hear them when we're by ourselves, right?
Right, right. You know, something that was coming to my mind, and I've never really put this verse, used this in this way, but in Psalm 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." It's beautiful because the context of that is that God is fighting our battles.
Amen.
You know, and I look at that, and I look at this battle that we have against the issue of pornography, and I can look at that and say, you know what? Wow, my victory, my battle victory, is actually in God, yes. and allowing Him to win the battle for me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because a lot of times I think that, you know, I just got to white knuckle it. I just got to be a little bit better. You know, I just got to do a little bit better, and then maybe, you know, I'll get a hold of this thing, and then I'll be able to go to God and He'll accept me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the simple fact is you've already accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. At that point, here's the reminder, is that first and foremost is that your sin, by you actually realizing that you've sinned and the temptations continue to come, what needs to take place is a mindset of yours from Scripture that says that you're first not fighting for victory.
Yeah,
you're fighting from victory. The victory took place with Jesus dying on that cross and then resurrecting 3 days later. Sin is gone. He broke it. He just said,
the chain is broken, like that song that we heard.
He's taken it all. He took all of our sins on. He's taken it. So you are fighting from victory. See, the enemy wants you to be confused and say, hey, you can't overcome this. And you know, you might as well just give in because it's, you know, you can't stop me. I'll just keep coming. Well, you know, the simple fact is that he can be stopped. Okay? And the key is that we start to acknowledge that God who is in us has given us everything that we need. But we don't keep that to ourselves. We share that with other brothers who are like-minded, who are seeking to do the same thing. You encourage each other. You exhort each other. You praise God and give Him the praise and thanks, okay? When you acknowledge God, guess what? You're in His presence. And when you're in His presence, when you acknowledge that, you realize that there's more light in your life than darkness.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, you keep giving away to those who are in darkness, saying, here's the hope. Here's the promise of a relationship with Jesus Christ, that all these things no longer will keep you bound down. And you can share your freedoms. That doesn't mean that you become perfect, but we're striving for perfection because we were created that way. You shared that the other night, that we were created perfect and holy.
Yeah, and in the Christ, world, we're perfect.
Right. And the world is the one that's trying to take that away from us because the world belongs to the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep. So my mind went back to where we actually kind of started the show when we were talking about that Hebrews chapter 10,
yes.
where it says, you know, to not neglect gathering together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another.
Yes.
And I think about that, and it's like, well, how can I be encouraged by somebody if they don't know how to encourage me? You know, and this happens inside of the fellowship of gathering together.
Yep.
Now, and I know that it's not easy to tell somebody that you're weak.
Yep.
It's not easy to uncover your own shame.
Yes.
You know, but this is what the fellowship of believers is about. It's
yes.
about encouraging one another.
Yes.
There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So when we do that, when we're doing the things that God has called us to do, like in the book of James, to confess our sins to one another and pray for one another, right, so that you may be healed.
Yes.
There's a lot of powerful and effective stuff that goes on right here. Because, yes, I mean, that's what it says, that those prayers are powerful and effective.
Yes, yes. You know, one of the things I just wanted to throw out before, because we just have a few more minutes left here, just to, if you go to our website, which is bandofbrothersforchrist.org, you go to our website, we have a tab on there that says resources, okay? And you click on that, and we actually, there are some websites that we actually recommend for men to be able to go to, and or women for that matter, but we know that's primarily men who we talk to. But anyway, it has everything to do with being able to help you along this path of getting assistance that sometimes we feel we need to be able to overcome this stuff. And anyway, there's some places there that you can go to. Just to let you know also, you can contact us through the same website. If there are prayer requests or things that you would like answered, you want to ask directly, you can do that through the website also. My email address is there, and if I can't answer it, I get it to somebody who can answer it or has experience in that area. Mm-hmm. So, but my point being is that there is assistance. There are brothers who care. We don't have to know you and see you eyeball to eyeball to know that the pain of the infliction of the not only the temptation and the continual temptation, but it can become overwhelming. And you can be actually at ease knowing that, hey, those of us who have been there can actually, well, the Holy Spirit does it, okay? We can say certain things. The Holy Spirit will place it on your heart. You just have to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to change you, okay? So,
yep. And
anyway.
That can be a scary proposition. You know, I'll tell you, change in any form is scary and stressful, even good change.
Yes.
You know, and that seems like a weird thing. You know, you live in a small house, and all of a sudden you have an opportunity to move into a nice big house, you know, with all the amenities. Well, you know, even that's stressful. You know, people would look at that and say, okay, this is a good change. You know, in a worldly fashion, this is a good change.
Sure.
Well, that's stressful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we're going the other direction, we're living in a house and, you know, you lose your ability to pay for the house and you have to downsize to, to something smaller that you can barely cram your family into, whatever the case is. You know, that's stressful too. So what we would see as a bad change, all these things are, you know, they're not easy, whether it's a good change or a bad change. You know, and the thing is we look at this and we see that, you know, I know that there's something in my life that I've got to change, right? Because God did not intend for me to live entrapped in this sin. God has, you know, God is the chain breaker. He's broken the chain. I just don't really feel like it. I need some help. Okay. I know I need change, you know, and while it might feel like it's a bad change, you know, this is a good change. And this is things that people want to come alongside and help you with. You know, there are brothers out there like Raul and I who have been through it and love to help people in this. And there are pastors in the church who have, you know, an open door, say, come and talk to me, you know, and who will be able to point you in the right direction to, you know, a group of like-minded men.
Yes. Got the music going. It's almost time to finish here. Let me just finish with James chapter 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And if anything you lack, you should ask God, who gives generously to all who find fault, and it will be given to you. So He's the answer. He's the solution. But go to some of those angels He's put in your life. Would you pray for our brothers who are listening?
Our Heavenly Father, I just thank You for Your word and Your instruction and the beauty of being set free by the blood of Jesus. God, I just pray that You would move in our hearts to submit to God, resist the devil, and stand firm